Let me plug in. There we go. There we go. We're on now. Amen. Good to be in the house of God tonight, this morning, I mean. Amen. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And joy to be with you. I've been looking forward to this. I didn't imagine that I'd be this tired coming Sunday morning. But anyways, amen. I'm wore out. All right. But I've enjoyed being with you as far as the man of God working yesterday, enjoyed fellowship, and I like working anyways. Working's never scared me. Amen. I figured I'd have some men say amen right there. Working's never scared me, and I enjoyed being able to fellowship while I do that, and appreciate the opportunity to try to be a blessing to the man of God. Appreciate his friendship, appreciate his faithfulness. Appreciate his study in the Word of God. He's a Bible student, and appreciate him and his family, and enjoying the time to get to be around him. Amen. It's I don't know exactly what you'd call it. I was going to say fire and water, but it's more like fire and gasoline, and you can try to figure out which one's which. Amen. But we enjoy each other's fellowship, and we're going to need each other for this thing's done. Amen. Amen, brother. You're going to need him. I'm going to need him. We're going to need each other. Amen. And I'm thankful for the people of God. I'm thankful for men of like mind and of like faith, and appreciate him. And by the way, it's not near as bad as what he's saying about Kentucky. It's not near as bad as what he's saying. You get used to the drive. Amen. I thought I was going to say it's a little bit shorter, but he ain't a little bit shorter. You just get used to driving that far. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, if you will, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs chapter number 30. And I've had this thought on my mind and my heart for a while, and got peace about preaching this last night. And the Lord still showed me some things out of it this morning. And I like it when the Lord gives you something and it stays fresh. Amen. So I hope that it's a blessing to you, an encouragement to you, and try to dive into this verse and give you some things that I feel like the Lord's impressed your heart to deal with. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm in the house of God. I ought to be dead and in hell. Amen. Amen. But I'm thankful that God passed by my way and changed my course. Amen. Amen. So it's good to be saved. Proverbs chapter 30, you find your place and you're able to. Will you stand with me? We're just going to read one verse. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 26. Proverbs chapter number 30 and verse number 26. The Bible says the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Father, we thank you again for the day. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be saved by the good grace of God. Thank you again, Lord, for Calvary. Thank you again for the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for the redemption and the reconciliation that was provided as a result of your sacrifice there on the old rugged cross. Thank you, dear Lord, for the free gift of salvation that changed our life. I'm so thankful, dear Lord, for the privilege we have now to be able to be in the house of God, to be together with God's people, and, Lord, to fellowship around the songs of Zion, and, Lord, to hear the reading of the Word of God, and the privilege that you've given me this morning to once again break the bread of life and preach. I pray, Father, now for your touch and your anointing. I pray, Father, that you give us unction from the Holy Ghost. God, you know my frame. Lord, you know my physical man. You know my spiritual man. You know who I am. And, Lord, I'm in desperate need of, Lord, you. I need you to fill me and use me. God, cleanse me from sin. And, Lord, would you pour me out. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd fill me with your spirit and allow the word of God to go forth in power. May the sword be wielded by the Holy Ghost. And may you deal with the souls of men. I pray for that one here that's lost on the way to hell. God, would you get a hold of their lost soul and draw them to Calvary? Touch that one that's not right. I pray that you'd allow them the opportunity to get right with God this morning. Touch, dear Lord, the child of God that's cold and indifferent. Deal with their soul and, Lord, draw them to a place of repentance. May your will be done in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. I'm going to look at this one verse this morning and really consider the conies. The conies. I'm going to look at the conies and I'm going to try my best to compare the conies really to the life of the Christian. And then if we wanted to, we could take it collectively and look at the body of believers, the church. But if I had a title, and sometimes I forget to say a title, but if I have a title this morning, I thought about titling, I'd rather be an old-time Christian after I heard the first hymnal that we sang. But if I had a title, I would say it this way, I'd rather be a coney than a phony. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Amen. I'd rather be a coney than a phony. These conies are very interesting creatures. And as I begin to read about them and study about them, I realize there's some things that we can draw similarities to that should be found in the life of every believer. The name conies comes from the Hebrew word shaphan. It means rock hyrax. Rock hyrax. It is an unusual creature. It is so unusual that if you've ever seen one, if you go to the zoo, you could probably see one. I had the privilege to go to the zoo with my children, and lo and behold, they had a rock hyrax there. And I immediately was very interested. And sure enough, they're unlike anything you've ever seen. They got a body that resembles a guinea pig, yet they got tusks like elephants. They have legs that remind you of a small dog, and they're just little bitty creatures in that sense. And there's nothing really spectacular outside the fact that they are extremely unique creatures. As a matter of fact, they are so different. They are so different that scientists have given them their own family order. Hydrocidea, I believe is how you say it. And so they are so uniquely different that they had to give them their own family order. And as soon as I read that, I said, man, is that not where the child of God should be? Amen. Amen. That's this introduction you've got to bear with me. Is that not what the child of God should be? We ought to be so different. We ought to be so different. There's only one thing they can say about you. You only classify as one type of individual. That's a Christian. Amen. Amen. Those individuals in Antioch stood out so much that they said there's only one piece perfect. There's only one kind of people these are. And they're Christians because they act just like Christ. Amen. And so I begin to think about this. You know, if you look at it, they have a lot of similarities to the elephant. They have a lot of similarities to a guinea pig. They got similarities to all different kinds of animals. And I thought about it. You know what? We don't look too different from the world that we're in. We got two eyes. We got nose. We got two legs that walk. Two hands. We go to work. Life doesn't really seem to change. But if we really start looking, there's some differences that the world has to look and say, man, there's something different about this creature. He may look a lot like me, but he ain't like me. He talks different the way I talk. He acts different. He behaves himself. Look at his spirit. Look at his demeanor. Look at his honesty. Look at his character. Amen. Look at how he handles himself. Look at his family. Look at his children. Look at how they dress. Look at the music they listen to. Hear the songs that they sing. Talk about what they're talking about. The Bible they talk about. The God that they serve. The joy that they have. Amen. I'm telling you, there ought to be something in your life and in my life that lets the world know something's different. Amen. Amen. I still believe in separation.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And it ain't got anything to do with me boasting and thumping my suspenders and telling you what I believe. All it has to do is God made a change in me and my separation lets the world know there's been a difference made. Amen. I'm not of this world. I'm in it, but I ain't of it. I'm only passing through. I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm a lame man, citizen to another country and to another land, and I'm headed home. Praise God. I ain't a part of this crowd. So separation lets the world know I'm different. Amen. God give us some people. God give us some children of God that'll make up their mind. I'm going to be different. Amen. I want to be different. We've got an adopted mindset in the church age today. Blend. Camouflage. You know what you are? You're a coward. Amen. Preacher, you're a coward. You've taken your light, you put it under the bushel, and you hid it under a bed. Praise God, when He saved me, He made a difference, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm about to get a little warmed up. Amen. We ought to be different. Ought to be unusual. Amen. 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 I don't say this to boast, but I work around me in construction just about every day when I'm not on the road preaching. I'm in construction in people's homes, and the people that I have, man, they are wicked. They're ungodly. But I tell you what, there's a young man, this lady that works there, she's wicked. I mean, lives a wicked lifestyle. And here's what she said. She got her nephew to come work for me for a few days needing a job. And here's what she said. She said, listen, you go to work with those young men. You don't get to smoke. You don't get to cuss. You ain't chewing on the job. You ain't running around in shorts. I ain't never said a thing. You hear? I ain't never said a thing to them about nothing. I just try to behave myself in such a way that it exemplifies Christ. That's what she told her nephew. And the nephew related to me because he couldn't believe it. But the first day on the job, he said, oh, you're one of those. I said, yeah,
yes,
yeah, I'm in this other category. I ain't better than anybody, but I've made, man, God made a change in me. My nature changed. I'm not what I was. He made a difference. Amen. This is introduction. I'm sorry. Amen. They are separated from every kind of species. And then get this. Get this. They have a habit. Every single morning. I'll get to this verse in just a minute. Amen. They have a habit of every single morning. Them rock hyrics that live in them rocks. They have a habit. They come out of them rocks in the morning. As soon as the sun's starting to peek over the trees. They'll come out of them rocks. And they'll climb to the top of that rock pile. And they'll just start basking in the sun. They just lay down. Here's the other thing I found out. They usually like doing it with one of their siblings. They got fellowship. And they'll bask in that sun. Here's what I found out. They have horrible internal thermal regulation. Here's what that means. Very simply, in country boy terms. They have a tendency of getting cold on the inside. You can't make this up. Amen. They get cold on the inside. They have a problem with keeping themselves warm on the inside. So what they do to maintain thermal inside internal temperature and keep the heat inside is they get out every single morning, they get in the light, and they allow the light to warm them up on the inside. And then to help, amen, with that, they get next to a friend and they start fellowshipping and they lay down together and they bask. Let me tell you, that's what we're here this morning to do. Amen. We're here to get in God's light and God's presence. We get together one with another, and the purpose of it is on the inside, I've got a tendency of getting cold on God. But if we get in His presence and if you'll worship with me, praise God, there's something on the inside that'll warm up. Amen. And there's a fire rekindled that I desire to continue to serve the Lord. Amen. So they'll bask in the sun every morning. They just want to bask in that sun. Here's another something I found out. When they do this, they not only get internal temperature regulated and get that heat put back in their body, but that sunlight produces a pigment in their fur. that allows them to be camouflaged from the eye of the enemy.
Amen.
Praise God. You hear me this morning, amen. Amen. I'm telling you, a man, a young lady that has a daily walk with God is a hard target for the devil. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The psalmist said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Amen. He said it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Amen. Amen. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. So they'll bask in the sun every morning. Then I found this out. The rock hyrax, scientists have found that they have at least, they've charted them and mapped them out. They have at least 29 different songs they sing. You know, I found out the rock hyrax is the most happy, friendly mammal that scientists have ever seen. They socialize, ain't scared of nothing. You hear me? What they'll do is that, and then they're socialized, they'll get so happy, and they'll get to running and jumping. And while they're running and jumping around from rock to rock to rock, they've heard them begin to sing. And I'm telling you, if you've ever seen it, it's something else now. They got videos of it. I'm sure you'd go home and watch it today. But I'm telling you, they'll just sing and sing and sing. And then they've got these at least 20 different sounds that mean something to all the rest of them. And they don't know all that's going on. But there's a sound, and it sounds like a little shout that went out. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but amen still does something for me. Hallelujah. Still does something in my heart. Amen. But here's the kicker now. Here's the kicker. By the way, here's the kicker. They can sing, shout, run, and jump and sing all these songs, make all these sounds 1 hour after they've birthed. One, if you hear me, I'm about to climb all over this building. I can tell you that right now. 1 hour after their birth, they can sing every song. They can make every sound. They can run and jump and shout with all the rest of them. And it fits right in, praise God. Let me tell you a good thing, man. I'm talking about not being a phony, praise God. Amen. When God saved my soul, he put in me a song and a shout. Amen. And when it came in my heart was the moment I trusted in his grace. I ain't never been the same. Amen. I understand people don't got to be crazy like me. But I'm telling you, if you're saved, God put the same song he put in me in you. Amen. You may not sing it like I do. Amen. You might not sing it like he does. But praise God, when it's sung, it still does something to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He still says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I still love old time worship. Amen. I got a taste of that when it saved me. And praise God. When I tasted of his goodness, I ain't never been satisfied with anything else. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing that does me any more good. and to hear the songs of the people of God, and to hear God's people start saying, amen, glory, hallelujah, magnify the Lord with me, amen. I'm praise God for the opportunity to worship Him. I'm so glad He put the song in me. I'm so glad He let me know I've been changed. It's different. There's still joy in serving Jesus this morning. Amen. Sing, shout, run, jump. Amen. Now I want to get to the verse. Here's what he says. The conies are but a feeble folk. Oh. And so I began to do this, look at this verse, and something just didn't feel right. Just the way he said it. It just, for whatever reason in my heart, it just said, man, there's something there. So I began to do a word-for-word study of that verse, and here's what I found out. The word feeble is not your word feeble. Oh, man. The word feeble, that word feeble folk, we have a tendency in our English language that it means, or we translate it as the word weak. Powerless. Incompetent. Unable. And it carries with it that meaning, that weakness. However, this word feeble is the word otsum. And it means this. You ain't going to believe me, so you're going to have to look it up. It means strong. It means mighty. It means mightier. It means great, vast, countless, strong in number. Now, if I was to have a rock hyrax up here, you would honestly say there is nothing powerful about that creature. And you would be right. Matter of fact, they only are about 50 centimeters in length, and they weigh only about 5 kilograms. That's about as big as they get. They don't, outside of a tusk they got, those little small tusks they got coming out of the corner of their mouth, they ain't got anything that's going to hurt you. They don't have claws, not for a fight. Their legs would be too short anyways. There's nothing threatening about them. Absolutely nothing. Yet we are told that they are mighty. Matter of fact, this word otsum throughout the Word of God is only used when describing an army. When it says that they were a mighty army, it's the word otsum. When it says that they were a vast army, it means otsum. When it means they were a great army, that means otsum. Same word. So I begin to consider what about the coney makes them strong. Because the truth is, there's nothing about them that is strong by themselves. Praise God. I want to look at some things, about 4 different things, and we're going to be done, on some things that makes the coney strong in spite of their shortcoming. Okay. Number one, they are strong because of their siblings. Amen. Stay with me. They are strong because their family. They're strong because they live in large groups. No less than 10 have ever been found. Their average is about 80, but they like it to be around 150 or more.
Yeah, me too.
Their strength is not in just being one.
Yes, sir.
It's in being a whole bunch more than one.
Yeah.
Amen. And here's the thing. They consist, usually the conies now, consist of no more than maybe 4 to 6 different families. The rest of them are their children. Oh, man. Here's what I want to get to. I'm talking about being strong. I want to be a coney. And I want to be a part of a church like the conies. Here's what I mean by that. We need some young families that'll get serious about raising children for the glory of God. Amen. We shouting just a minute ago, best stay with me, amen now. I'm talking about having some young families that'll get serious about raising their children. Amen. The heritage of the Lord, by the way, for the glory of God. Here's what I'm afraid. Mom and daddy stay in church and they're interested in church until Junior and little Susan are not interested in church, and then they fall out with the children. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Amen. You know what? I have a desire. I have a desire for my family to be sitting on the pew with me and worshiping God with me. I want to, there ain't nothing that stirs my heart any more than to see my children singing with their mother and worshiping God, using their talents. I'm investing in the house of God and the family of God, and I want to see my children serve the Lord. Amen. I'm afraid our churches are falling apart because we've lost young families that have any motive or desire to raise children for God. I'll show you a healthy church. I'll show you a healthy church when I see young families that are raising their children in the house of God. Amen. And those mamas and daddies have their mom and daddy sitting on a pew with them. When you see families, I'm all about reaching the lost. I'm all about, I'm fixing to make a statement you probably ain't going to agree with, most of you. You listen to me. Well, I'm all for reaching the lost. But I am not going to lose my family and rescue them.
Amen.
I don't mean to be hard-hearted, but Noah didn't lose his family. He built that ark to the saving of his house. He preached, told them the flood was coming. But the only people he really was moved and motivated to get on that ark was his own family. Amen. If we would get that priority straightened up, we'd have some churches that could actually reach the world.
Yes.
And the reason why we can't, and our light's gone dim, and our reach ain't as effective in our community, in our state, are you hearing me? In our state and in the world, is because our families have fallen apart. The pillars of the house of God have become molded and rotten, and we are not able to do what we should be able to do as a body of believers. I hope that makes sense. I hope that makes sense. Hey, nothing better to see you up here with that Bible nodding at me. That thrills my heart. Praise God. I want to see you boys up here on that front row. Amen. Shouting me down, loving, preaching the Word of God. Amen. There ain't nothing that's any better. Amen. Used to be one of these. Amen. Used to be one of them. Made a difference in my life. Now I've got my family. Amen. I got my family, and the desire of my heart is to see them raised in the house of God and raise their children. Amen. I want to be able to sit with my children in the house of God. I want to be able to sit with my grandchildren one day in the house of God. Where have we have lost sight of having a vision of that. If we can just keep our children at home, we've done something. God help us. And I'm not trying to be mean. I don't know anybody's situation here. I promise you. Don't have a clue. It's across the country. Our churches are falling apart. The potential is being wasted because young families and mama, even middle-aged families are not doing the responsibility in raising their family to be involved and invested in the local church. We're losing our children. We've got a lack of young. I'm going to say this, just like it, lump it, whatever. We've got a lack of young couples, married couples now, that even have a desire for a family.
You're right, man. You're exactly right.
I'm going to say something. When you'd rather have a house full of cats and dogs than to have children. Let me tell you what that is, and I can take you to the Bible and show you. It's unnatural affection.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, what sits on the pew with me. Eternal things.
Amen.
Eternal things.
Amen.
You know what's in your home? Worldly, temporal things.
Amen. You're right.
I ain't got no problem with somebody having a dog or a cat. He does. I don't. You listen to your pastor. Don't have. I got a dog. I got a problem when they come in the house, but that's a floor guy thing. You do floors with me, I promise you, you'll quit doing that too. Amen. But when they replace, let me tell you something, wife, in the heart of every woman, there's a desire from the time they are that age to have babies, to have family. You know what that is? That's natural. That's God honoring. The fruit of the womb is His reward. It's eternal thing. I'm telling you, young children, families that will raise their children in the house of God, that strengthens the church like nothing else will. We have got, and I'm part of a church that has that philosophy. I'm not saying we haven't had them leave. We've saw a bunch leave. We've got to see a bunch come back and get saved. But now listen to them. We got great. My grandmother was there, my mamma, my daddy, myself, and my children. Four generations sitting on pews at Pleasant View Baptist Church. There are four generations in the Callaways. I believe that's right now. The Callaways, is that four generations yet? Four generations. Multiple three generations. And I'm telling you, God has enabled us because of the structure of that ministry. I'm not trying to badmouth the boast. I'm telling you, this is what I know works.
Yes.
It works.
Yes.
You get that kind of structure and that kind of investment and involvement from families in the house of God that it get invested in the local church. Yeah. I am telling you, you can turn the world upside down.
Yeah.
This past week, the governor of Kentucky made a visit to our little church to come see one ministry that's about reaching young men from the age of 18 to 24 years old. Wanted to come tour the facility. We ain't nothing. Ain't nothing but fair place for you, but a bunch of poor people that work hard and love Jesus. But those individuals up there have invested in the body. They've invested in the church. And they've determined to do their best to raise their families there. I don't know about you, but that's a church that I want to be a part of. Amen. I'm sure you've got families, preacher, that are here invested. But I promise you, just like back home, we could have a few more. And it sure help us out. Amen. They're strong. Strong because of the siblings. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you something I've seen. I've been in this. I'm not an old man. I'll be 32 come May. I got saved at 7 years old. I've been in this thing from the time I was born. Let me tell you what I've seen. When there are young families that refuse to raise their children in the house of God and dedicate their children unto the Lord to serve God, their talents, don't waste them on a ball field. Don't waste them on a ball court. Hey, man, preacher. Because the chances are they probably ain't that good anyways. Amen. My brother could run a 40-yard dash in 3.7 seconds. The record's 3.5. Guess what? He blew both of his ankles out. He ain't running that fast no more. But you know what he is doing? He put all of his talents not into playing football. He put all of his talents into playing the bass. He's one of the best players in the country, I guarantee it. You know what he's doing Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? He's on the platform, Plainview Baptist Church, plays that bass, and when the glory gets on, amen, that bass thumps a little bit harder, amen, and he smiles real big with tears running down his face.
Amen.
That's more worth than all the $1 million NFL could have offered.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. There's a lot of preaching there. Let me tell you, when you have a group of people that will be governed by selfishness and refuse to invest their children into serving God and their talents to the house of God and the well-being and the prosperity of the house of God, you will sign a death warrant on that church. Strong because of their siblings. Number two, they are strong. I did not think I was going to preach like this. Lord's helping me preach. Amen. I'm enjoying myself. They are strong because of their century. Oh, man. Do you know that the rock hyrax is one of the rare animals that has perfected, and I mean perfected, the use of a century? You see, they in those rocks at nighttime. Well, come morning, daybreak, they really don't know what is out there. And they refuse to go out until the sentry says it's clear.
Yeah.
So the sentry will then make his way. By the way, I thought I'd throw this in. The sentry is always a male.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What about that?
They got more sense. Well, I ain't going that route. Makes his way up to the top of them rocks, and he'll do a full sweep of the area. And the reason why this particular hyrax is the sentry, he was appointed there. They put him there. And the reason was not because he was more powerful than the rest. The reason was not because he was older than the rest. But he had shown the ability of discernment.
Amen.
You hearing me? I'm telling you right now, this will preach. Amen. He showed the ability of discernment. And also, I like this part, he was the loudest one of the bunch. If that don't fit for safe harbor, I don't know what else will. He was the loudest one. And what that meant to them was, is when he got on top of them rocks, if there was danger, they's going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Amen. You better thank God for a century of watchmen that has enough guts and backbone to sound a warning when you and your family are in imminent danger. Whether it hurts your feelings or not, whether it makes you mad and consider other churches or not, he's still got enough guts to tell you the truth.
Amen.
And if you would consider going somewhere because a man of God told you the truth, you'd probably be a goat.
Yeah.
I'll just throw that in there. That won't cost you extra. When danger approaches, he gives off a piercing, and the scientists even said, irritating scream. I mean, if you ever hear it, buddy, it's just, it'll get on your nerves. He knows where that's going. So do you. I'm talking about a sentry that'll sound an alarm. Get this. Those conies, they won't move from those rocks until it gives the warning or gives out the sound. All's clear. I'm going to go ahead and preach this. You don't have to like it. Amen. But I'm going to preach it because the Holy Ghost told me to preach it. The watchman, the sentry, don't ever leave his position. Oh, now. So the rest of the rock hierarchs pack, if you will. They leave the rocks and they get busy about the day. Bask in the sun. The sentry's up there watching. They go through the day singing and shouting and running and jumping. Sentries up there watching. They start gathering food and meals and eating. The sentries up there watching. Whole time. Nobody's providing for him. He can't provide for himself. Guess what happens? Those conies, before they even partake of a meal, they'll go feed the watchman first. They'll go take care of the sentry first because he can't get out there and do what they're doing and then be safe. God help us tonight, this morning. Amen. Whatever time of day it is. The sentry gets taken care of. Let me tell you something. This don't get preached anywhere. Amen. That's why the evangelist gets to come in and preach, make everybody nervous. But I still believe in taking care of the man of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I still believe in taking care of the man of God. And if you don't, something wrong with you. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what your last name is. If you don't take care of the man of God, you got a wicked heart. I said a wicked heart. Man of God gives his life and his days, his time, his talents, his efforts, his attention. Amen. To watch over the souls of the individuals in the house of God. Now, we've modernized his position. But there ain't nothing modern about old time preaching. Ain't nothing modern about being an old time man of God. Amen. If you've ever needed your man of God, you need him in these days. I think we're on the brink of being over. I think this is the last push to home. Amen. I don't know. I don't know when it may be. I hope it's my generation that sees it. But I'm telling you, I believe if it ain't mine, it'll be my children's. I believe it's that real. We're that close. We're that close. You hearing me? If I'm going to make it, if I'm going to make it, I better make sure my sentry stays on the wall.
Amen.
Last thing I need him to do is getting off that wall and having to go find himself something to eat.
That's right.
You hearing me?
Amen.
Amen. I ain't against men that'll work. I ain't against that. But if a church has the ability to do it, you better do it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You better do it. Every man of God I've ever talked to that had to work a job and pastor said the church suffered. And I'm not a pastor. I work and I work hard. I try to take care of my family and I do my best to do my part to take care of my preacher. And ain't nothing he needs. Nothing he needs he ain't going to get. Now if I got anything to do with it, I take on every job, every floor job I could find. I work, you hear me? You listen to me now. I worked this past few months in November, December. I didn't get home about 7, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, sometimes 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And all I was doing trying to keep up and keep care of my family. Let me tell you something. I'd do it all over again in a heartbeat if I knew my pastor needed the smallest thing. I'd pay for it myself. Century's that important to me. I'm telling you, I'd be scared. It'd scare me to death. Where I'd be if I didn't have the watchman I had.
Amen.
I couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine. Amen. I know it always makes the pastor uncomfortable when I start preaching this, but you need to hear it. Amen. It's because of this system. You getting this? It's because of this system. The coney is the least extinct mammal on planet Earth. At least it was when I read this article. Least extinct. So them taking some time and making sure their sentry's taken care of was in essence really taking care of themselves.
Yeah.
Amen. By the way, the coney was not up there for pride's sake. By the way, and I ain't never been in the position of a pastor, but I've been around enough of them and had to minister to enough of them that I know this. There's nothing prideful about being a pastor. Most of them I've seen have been humiliated and beat down so low they can't hardly hold their head above water. Shame on us. If anybody ought to be able to hold their head up as my pastor, you ain't got to like it, but it's still Bible, it's still right, and God still honors it. He's not up there for pride. He's not up there for position or prestige. He is up there because he has a protective instinct that no other coney possesses. They say it is absolutely amazing to watch the sentry. Even if he's perceived you are not a threat, if he don't know who you are and you're not a part of the pack, his eyes never leave you. He ain't going to trust you around the rest of them until you've proven yourself that you're not a threat. Now, he has a threat. The watchman, the sentry, he has one glaring threat, one weakness. And there's a prey that takes advantage of this weakness like no other one can. And that is this. His eyes stay fastened to those that are around him. And up there on that rock pile, he's got a 360 view. He's watching, watching, watching. Every movement in the brush, he's watching. Foxes and coyotes, he'll sense them coming long before anybody's in danger. He's that in tune to what's around him. However, the eagle doesn't come from around him. The eagle's found one blind spot, and that's straight up. And what the eagle does is that same sun that they're basking in, that eagle's up there flying in. And as the eagle's flying around, he sees that sentry, and he knows the rest of them. I mean, they know it. They know the rest of them are waiting to hear an alarm from the sentry. So the target, it's not on everybody outside the rock. It's the one sitting on the rock. And so what that eagle will do is you're getting that sun and then it'll just shoot straight down at a dive and it'll take out that sentry. And nobody else around will even know the sentry's gone. Not even know that a fatal blow's been struck. And now all the rest of them are at risk. So you know what the Coneys have done? I like this. Amen. Amen. If God ever let me pastor, God give me a 10 men like this. Here's what they got. They take shifts. Some do take shifts. Some of them just have one. Come here, preacher. Here's what they do. Here's what they do. There's the Coneys. Here's your sentry. He's watching. He's watching. Now, he's got the weakness right above him. Here's what another one will do. Come up here and I'll back up to him. And all he'll do is he'll look straight up in the air. Did you know that God gave Coneys built-in sunglasses in their eyes? And they can stare right at the sun. And they can see prey coming. They're just staring at it. Flipping shades down. And he stares there. And the moment he sees something, he don't give out the alarm. He goes, hey! Blind spot. And the sentry can go, get in the rock!
Yeah. Right. Amen.
You know what I want to be, my man of God?
Yeah.
Take care of my family. Yeah. I'm going to watch this blind spot.
Yeah.
And if I even get a sense, if I even get a sense that somebody's after my preacher,
yeah,
I'm going to let him know it. Amen. I don't care who it is. If I think for 1 minute you're after my man of God, I'll let everybody, amen. I will go straight to my man of God. I'll tell him there's a problem. I'll mark him. I'll tell my wife and my children, stay away.
Amen.
You don't believe me? I've done it. And I'll keep doing it.
Yes, sir.
My watchman and my sentry is that important to me.
Yes.
You hear me?
Yes.
Not just for my family, but for other families.
Right.
I'm invested in this thing.
Yeah.
Dang.
Praise God.
Yeah. That's good.
And I'm watching out for him. Amen.
Hey.
I'm not looking to be number two man. I just want to be a good man. I want to be a good soldier. I believe we've got men at our church that take that position. Take a rotating shift, if you will. You know what he needs? He needs some men that'll fall in love with your man of God. Fall in love with his church. Some young men. You even get the sense that there's a problem. And there's a word being said. Don't you hesitate to tell your man of God.
Amen.
Right.
Let me tell you something. And when you tell him, he might not do what you think he ought to do. I've told my man of God, and he didn't do near what I thought he was going to do. I thought I knew him pretty well. Didn't do a thing. He knew how to handle it. That's why he's on the rock pile, and I'm not. And you know what? I found out he was right. Amen, preacher. I'll preach these last two, and I'm done. I think we've loaded the wagon. They're strong because of their sentry. They're strong because of siblings, and they are strong because of their step. That definition, rock hyrax, that otsum, that feeble, I mean. It says the word powerful. Here's the great part. When it says powerful, it has a clause. It means powerful, especially of a Paul. Of a Paul. I got interested because, man, there was a whole lot they were talking about their feet. Come to find out that these conies, they live in the rocks where it's sharp, where it's slick, where it's steep. And here's what God gave them creatures. He gave them a paw like no other animal. And in the paw, they have like sweat-like glands. But what it does is the water in their body leaks out their paws, and their paws are wet. And then it's formed with a cup in the middle that when they hit a salt, when they hit that rock, it's a suction cup. You know what God gave them in a rocky land? How to have a grip. Let me tell you what he did to the child of God when he saved you. He put water inside of you. The water of the Word of God. And as the water of the Word of God guides our steps. You hearing me? As the water is guiding our steps, it's secreting that ability of our feet to have a grip. There's coming sharp times. Amen. There's coming some steep places and some slippery places. You can slip up and get tripped up pretty quick. But God's given you by the Word of God and your feet, amen. Amen. As he guides the steps of a good man and they're ordered of the Lord, what he's done is he's given you the ability to have a grip. Amen. They have ability to walk when things get rough. Amen. The psalmist said, thou hast enlarged my steps under me that my feet do not slip. Psalms, he said, the law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Amen. I like that. Psalms 37, he said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. By the way, Psalms 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me, heard my cry, brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet where? On a rock and established my goings. That word goings literally means my step. Amen. Amen. It's the people of God. I've never seen a generation that has not the ability to handle adversity. But when God saves you, God gives you ability to keep on walking when things get steep. When things get slippery. I thought about it today, man. I thought about it this morning. The weather, you talk, the last thing you want to be walking on when it's wet is a rock. Last thing you want to be on a rock is when it's snowing, sleeting, freezing, cold. There ain't nothing good about being on a rock at that point in time. But that's where they live. They live in that rock. Those rocks. They walk on those rocks. God gave them the ability to maintain a grip. I've never seen a generation. People are so shaken like that. I mean, they'll lose their mind. And the first thing that it seems to go, the moment they have hit a slippery place, a steep place, a hard place, the first thing they want to do is run from the rock. Getting ahead of myself, but they're strong because of their step. They're strong because of their shelter. Yes, sir. Their shelter, I believe it represents two things. You can probably guess where I'm going, but here's what I believe it represents. Number one, I believe the rocks represent the sanctuary. Yes. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. That's where their lives revolve around. It's not the mentality of this day and age, especially in Christians of this day. So-called Christians. But here's the truth. If you're saved by the grace of God, your life should revolve around the local church. It's still the church that God gave His life for. Amen. It's important to God. God honors things done in connection to the local church. I don't do anything, I'm talking about anything, that would sever or strain that connection to the local church. This is the first time it's ever happened to me this month. About 2-3 weeks ago, I preached revival in Virginia, and at the same time, we were having revival back home. I don't ever do that. That is a rule. I ain't doing it. But my pastor scheduled this last minute, and I was scheduled to be gone. We share calendars, so we make sure that never happens. And he never looked at his calendar because he's a pastor. So the point is I had to go to him and I said, "Preacher, I'll cancel it right now." And he said, "No, this is on me. You've got to go. We've made the commitment. You go." That's the only reason I walked out the front door from Kentucky.
Amen.
I refuse to allow anything to strain that connection. You know, my life is invested in the church. Amen. And I believe God has blessed it to the point that God's now letting us be able to go out and encourage other people and strengthen their connection. That's been my burden the last few years. I'll be honest with you. My burden is I'm telling you, we've lost that connection to church, to the local church. Let me tell you something. God, when He sets you in a church, He didn't do that just willy-nilly. God don't move people just to move them for the fun of it.
Right.
When God puts you in a church and directs your family to a church, that means He wants you here for a reason.
Amen.
What bothers me is people that say, "God told me to move here," and you sit down on the pew and there's no involvement, no investment, no interest whatsoever in what's going on.
Yeah.
You bother me.
Yeah, right.
What God put in me was His heart and His love for the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something. Days coming, when you're going to get so cold and so lonely, so confused and hurt, and you're going to think about walking away from God. I'll be honest with you. There have been days I have come to myself and realized, if God don't help me, I am done with this. I come to the end of my rope. And then I walk through the back doors of the house of God. And as soon as I walked in, the burden rolled off of my shoulder. The musician started playing. God is so good. The choir started singing. Faithful, faithful. People of God's special group started singing. Even in the valley, God is good. The man of God gets up there and starts preaching about Calvary. Starts preaching about heaven. Something inside of my heart started burning again.
Yes, sir.
Just like that calling. Amen. Yeah. I called up somebody else that had a little bit of heat, got into fellowshipping with them. Hey, man, the pew behind me, Brother Josh leaned over, started whispering something in my ear, excited about the goodness of God, not even realizing on the inside I'm cold, hurt, and just confused. And I'm telling you, God, take the house of God, that sanctuary, and rescue me.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank God for the church. I gotta have it. Gotta have it. I thought about this, so in that sanctuary, there's a threat in the sanctuary. And And they won't see this one coming either. They'll run back into that sanctuary. And what they found is their next greatest threat to all of them is the snake. Them snakes like getting in them colder places. And they'll slip in into them rocks. And then when them rock hyrax runs to the refuge, you hearing me? They run back into that sanctuary where there's supposed to be refuge. They run right smack dab into the snake. Here's the thing. The rock hyrax, the coney, has no ability to defend itself from the snake. The only defense it has is the rock. There ain't nothing he can do at that point. That rock hyrax don't have the teeth to kill it, don't have the strength or the weight or anything to compete with the snake. I feel like we may have a little snake in here somewhere, the way I'm preaching. I hope not. If you are, you ought to get nervous. Because I tell you how they whip the snake. Here's how they whip the snake. When they get in, and they all back up. There's the snake, and the snake's there, ready to strike. The only problem is, there's more of him, more of them than there is of it.
Amen.
So all of a sudden, where it's 1-on-1, you don't stand a chance. Maybe 2-to-1, you ain't got that. I mean, they still ain't got a chance. 5-to-1, ain't got a chance. 20-to-1, probably still ain't got a chance. But 100-to-1, okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that. We're probably going to win that one. Here's the thing. They got strength in those numbers. Here's the thing. They still refuse. They will not attack that snake. Too many lives to be lost. Too much damage. You know what they do? They gather up, pack in as tight as they can. That's the best thing you can do. When troubles, are you hearing me? Praise God. When trouble is coming and you get a sense something's wrong and you can't quite see it, might be a snake somewhere.
Yeah.
When the man of God starts telling you that we need to get a little bit closer,
yeah.
You start getting close to one another.
Yeah,
that one that gets left out isolated, you probably can mark him and say, there they are.
Yeah.
Felt a good amen right there.
Then,
oh, you hear me. I'm telling you, if I couldn't get close to my brother and sister in Christ sitting on the pews with me, if all I wanted to be isolated from the people of God that I went to church with, something wrong in your heart.
Amen.
Might be a snake.
Yeah.
They'll get together, get close. And they'll stare that snake down. They'll just keep getting closer. And all of a sudden, under the leadership of a century, they'll start singing. They'll lift up their voice and they'll start singing together a song. And that snake can't stand it. And then when they realize that the snake is on the way out, starts backing up, they start shouting a little bit.
Amen.
While the group's singing over here, the group over here starts shouting. And when the snake backs up, they take a step forward. And they march that rascal right out the back door. Amen. I'm telling you, I thank God for the household of faith. Amen. I'm telling you, we need each other. We got days of darkness. The serpent wants to slip in. He's looking to see who he can devour. But I'm telling you, if we bond together, worship together, that's never been a need for the worship, real, all-time worship and shouting like this day. I tell you what it'll do. It'll run the snake out the back door. The serpent has never stayed in a church very long that'll worship God.
Amen.
Worship, real worship, and shouting and rejoicing of the people of God has always exposed the snake. Amen. And then there's the sanctuary of the church. And that rock, I believe, represents their shelter in Christ. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. We're sheltered in Him. The meaning of the word rock hyrax, the meaning, here's what it means. It means hidden, obscure. Have the ability to stay in Christ and the enemy can't get to them.
Amen.
Reminds me every time I think of it. Nothing can touch me.
Yes.
That doesn't pass through His hand.
Amen.
We're in Christ. As the people of God, the church, we're in Him. He's our refuge. He's our shelter. Amen. I'm glad we can be hidden in times of trouble, in times of threat and adversity. I'm glad we can be hid in God with Christ.
Amen.
We can find shelter.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd rather be a coney than a phony.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm saved.